This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. When will the world end? My guest, John Hagee, the pastor of a megachurch in San Antonio, Texas, believes the end of days and the second coming are imminent. There are 10 prophetic signs of the end-time world, he says, and Israel figures into about 4 of them: plague in the Middle East, the rebirth of Israel, the Jews returning home, and Jerusalem no longer being under Gentile control. Earlier this year, Hagee founded Christians United for Israel, an umbrella organization for churches and ministries to support Israel in matters related to biblical issues. In July, the group held a Washington summit to introduce the organization to senators and congressmen. The goal of the meeting was described on the group's website as, quote, expressing our concerns for Israel's security and our support of Israel's right to the land by biblical mandate. Speakers included Ken Melman, the chair of the Republican National Committee, Senator Rick Santorum, and the Israeli ambassador. President Bush sent a recorded greeting. Today we're going to talk about the Christian Zionist movement. Here's an excerpt of a sermon from Pastor Hagee's collection, Jerusalem, Countdown to Crisis.
In May 1948, Israel was reborn. How many of you were alive on May 15th, 1948? It was the most important prophetic day of the 20th century. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 24:32, when you see the fig tree, national Israel, begin to bloom again, know that my coming is nigh at the door. Behold, one generation will not pass away until all things are fulfilled. We are racing toward the end of time. We are not living in the last days. We're not living in the last hours. We are living in the last minutes of the dispensation of grace. In 1967, the Six-Day War united Jerusalem under Jewish control. Why is that important? Because the Gospel of Luke says, when Jerusalem is no longer trodden down by the Gentiles, then shall the end come. The Bible says, when the Lord builds up Jerusalem, when he builds up Zion, he will appear in all of his glory. So the Bible is screaming, when you see Jerusalem united, when you see it beautified, when you see it built up, the Messiah is coming. And when you see these signs in the heavens and the sun, the moon and the stars and the waves of the oceans that are roaring, what did God say? He said, lift up your heads and rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. I want you to do it, Cornerstone. Rejoice. The King of Glory is on the way.
We'll hear from Pastor Hagee later on the show. My first guest, Gershom Gorenberg, is an Israeli journalist who wrote about the Christian Zionist movement in his book, The End of Days. His latest book is The Accidental Empire, Israel and the Birth of the Settlements. He's also Jerusalem Bureau Chief for The Forward and a senior correspondent for The American Prospect.
Well, I would say that in the first place, it's something of a contradiction in terms, because the people who promote the idea of Christian Zionism are looking at Israel in mythological terms. They're seeing the Jews as actors in a Christian drama leading toward the end of days. Real Zionism as a Jewish movement is a movement aimed at taking Jews out of the mythological realm and making them into normal actors in history, controlling their fate and acting for pragmatic reasons connected to the here and now. So what's called Christian Zionism is actually very distant from Zionism.
What are the specific political and territorial goals that you think Christian Zionists have for Israel?
Well, they take a position on Israel and on the Middle East that would put them at the far edge of the radical right within Israeli politics. They're opposed to any concession whatsoever of land for peace. They tend to treat any process leading toward peace as an illusion, if not a conspiracy. Some of their leaders at various times have spoken explicitly of the idea of expelling the Palestinians from the West Bank. These are all positions that, as I said, would put them on the radical right within Israel. They're deeply opposed to the idea of a Palestinian state. They tend to support military action over diplomacy. It's worth stressing that this puts them far from the mainstream of Israeli politics.
Do you think Christian Zionists have clout politically in Israel? And if so, with who?
their cloud is in their impact on the politics of the United States, which is Israel's key strategic ally. To the extent that they can affect the Congress and the administration's attitude toward diplomacy, toward military action in the Middle East, they have a very strong effect on what happens to Israel. If they can push the American administration away from diplomatic efforts toward peace because of the so-called danger that Israel would give up land, if they can express support for military moves rather than diplomatic moves, they will have a strong effect on what happens to Israel. And therefore, their support and their lobbying activity and their political activism is encouraged by Israeli politicians on the far right.
Christian Zionists have raised millions of dollars for Israel. How has that money been used, and is that money controversial?
It has created controversy at times because sometimes the fundraising methods used present an image of Israel as a poverty-stricken country, something which is offensive to Israelis. There was a complaint very recently by an Israeli diplomat in the United States about fundraising methods of that sort. Occasionally, there are also complaints that various Christian Zionist groups have raised money for causes which are more controversial politically, such as the West Bank settlements, or for radical right groups such as the Temple Mount Faithful, a group which supports the idea of building the Jewish temple where the Muslim shrines now stand in Jerusalem, and which is a radical fringe group in Israel, and which often appeals for support from Christian rightists in the United States.
I've spoken to some Jewish Americans who consider themselves, aligned with Christian Zionists, and I asked, well, do you think it's in your ultimate best interest to be aligned with groups whose ultimate goal is the second coming of Jesus? And to which they've responded, well, we as Jews know that that's not the real truth, that that's not going to happen, so why not have an alliance with people who support the same goals for Israel that we do? The same kind of political goals. And why not support people who just are going to back Israel and back the protection of Israel? What would you say to that?
I think that, first of all, there's a tremendous disrespect implied here, strange as it may seem, for the beliefs of the Christian Zionists. These are people who live very much by their theology, and this attitude says their theology is irrelevant to me. I'm not relating to them as believing people. So I find that ironic. The second thing is, I think that there's a misunderstanding here of what an apocalyptic vision is. When somebody says that they're hoping for the end of history, for God to come and fix the world, they're saying that they see something broken in the world as it is today. And the question when you look at such a vision is, what does it reflect about what people think about today's world? Part of the end of days vision of the Christian Zionists is that the Jews will die or convert to Christianity. So what they're saying about the world today is they don't see Judaism as a legitimate religion. And I think it's strange for Jewish groups to align themselves with people who show a theological hostility for Judaism.
When you say that, in this scenario of the rapture, Jews will either convert or die, my understanding of that is that in this version of the rapture, that all Christian believers immediately ascend to heaven, and everybody else is that can either convert and ascend to heaven too, or they remain on earth for the tribulations, which is a series of plagues and famines and wars and other catastrophes.
Yes, that is true. This is a view of all so-called non-believers. But normally in the documents of this religious stream, there's a particular focus on the Jews, because for this form of theologically ultra-conservative Christianity, one of the great scandals remains that the Jews have not accepted Christianity. They believe that a literal reading of the Bible necessarily, in their eyes, leads to an acceptance of Christianity. The Jews are the keepers of the Hebrew Bible, and it's stunning that the Jews continue to refuse to read the Bible in what they consider to be its simple meaning that would lead to Christianity. This is the cognitive dissonance which is at the core of their beliefs, and they expect the end of days to resolve this dissonance. I would add one more thing about these kind of scenarios. If you read their literature, they inevitably end up with the Battle of Armageddon on Israeli soil. All events are expected to lead to this immense conflict, which will take place in Israel. The verse that's cited over and over again is that the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle. So they're expecting war and conflict, and they're seeing this as something positive. Everything that would lead toward Middle East peace, they see as an illusion. For Israelis looking toward their country's security and future in this world, in history as it continues, the most necessary step for us is finding a way to peace. So the people who are proclaiming their support for Israel are actually working at cross purposes to Israeli interests and needs.
Gershom Gorenberg, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Gershom Gorenberg is the author of the books The End of Days and The Accidental Empire.